Hey there, I'm Andy Langer. Welcome to another edition of the Andy Langer Show, Esquire's weekly guide to new music. As we do week in and out, we'll offer up an album or two worth buying whole, a couple of choice singles worth your 99 cents, and an oddity or two worth further exploration. We'll get started with the new record from Bright Eyes' Casadega. Last month, we discussed the Four Winds EP and noted that there didn't seem to be much buzz around Bright Eyes this time around, theorizing that perhaps the fervor over the new Arcade Fire was to blame. And maybe it is. But there's still not much buzz over this record, not like there was over the two CDs that they put out 2 years ago. And the people that are talking online about Bright Eyes seem to be approaching Casadega with some caution. The early reviews have been mixed. What gives? It's definitely a sleepy record. There's a lot of strings, a lot of ballads. Like any Bright Eyes record, how much you'll like it depends on your stomach for Conor Oberst's verbosity. There's a lot of turned phrases and deep thinking, and songs about turned phrases and deep thinking. There's some great cameo players on board here, though, from Andy LeMaster from Now It's Overhead, Ben Queller and David Rawlings, to M. Ward and Rachel Yamagata. The latter guests on the tune will sample now, Hot Nights. That's Bright Eyes with Hot Knives. On the blogs, if there's a tune that's earned the worst review, it's Soul Singer in a Session Band, one of the tunes I like the most. That's not contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. I just happen to think that while there's a trite lyric or two, it's pound for pound the record's meatiest and most memorable performance, lyrically and musically. Here's a listen to Soul Singer in a Session Band from Bright Eyes.
See the soul singer in the session band, shredded to ribbons beneath a microphone stand. Felt the quickness of pity like a flash in a pan for the soul singer in the session band.
From Bright Eyes, we head towards Grinder Man, the new Nick Cave side project that Cave has described as foul-mouthed, noisy, hairy, and damn well old enough to know better. Ain't that the truth? Sonically, it's hard to imagine a record more brutal than Grinder Man. Lyrically, it's tough to think of one as starkly depressing. It's a record about growing old ungracefully, even disgracefully. And it absolutely rocks. It's both witty and disturbing. Not a lot of records are both. And Cave did us a rare favor. The tune with the best title on the record is also the best song on the record. No Pussy Blues.
Ritter, Elliot, Ritter, Yeats. I tried best to stay up late. I fixed the hinges on her gate, but still she just never wanted to. I bought her a dozen snow white doves. I did her dishes in rubber gloves. I called her honeybee, I called her love, but she just still didn't want to. She just never wants to.
That's the No Pussy Blues from Grinder Man. Obviously, if you spend just 99 cents on music this week, that ought to be it. You'll have fun for years putting it on mood-driven mixtapes. Another tune worth owning comes from Blonde Redhead. The LA Times described their new record 23 as art music and heart music. And while I haven't spent as much time with the whole record as perhaps I should, it's not too soon to cherry-pick this one as the set's best and perhaps most accessible tune. It's one called Spring and By Summer Fall.
Tell me what you've seen in my life. You've been biting my hands and knocking me down, down to the ground. Tell me where you've been my life. I see only what you see. Face who you face, feel who you wanna be.
That's Blonde Redhead. Next up, The Moog. Stupid name, good story. By most accounts, the Budapest Quintet is the first Hungarian rock band to land on an American label. Sold for Tomorrow is their new album, and it's full of catchy, exceedingly straightforward pop songs in the Cheap Trick vein. There's very little new here, but the performances are solid, the songwriting catchy. And did we mention they're Hungarian? Here's a piece of their most obvious hit in waiting, I Like You.
But I like you.
That's I Like You, a tune from the Hungarian band The Moog. Next up, Laura Veers. 2 years ago, you couldn't log on to a blog without reading about her. Now she seems to have the Conor Oberst problem. There seems like a serious lack of buzz building around her new record, Saltbreaker. And that's too bad, because Veers has made a better record than 2005's Year of the Meteors. Her voice is stronger, the production is sharper, and the arrangements are more complex. For overall warmth, sparkle, and sassiness, Cat Power has nothing on Laura Veers. Here's a listen to Saltbreaker.
With my
There it is, the new Laura Veers, Saltbreaker. Last week, we ended things with a tune from an interesting new soundtrack, Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof. That's his half of the new Grindhouse movie, and it's got a lovingly crafted mixtape to go along with it, featuring rare music from the 60s and 70s, handpicked by Tarantino himself. Oddly, though, one of the best songs on the record is April March's Chick Habit, and it's from 1995. April March, real name Eleanor Blake, has been both a cartoon animator for Pee-wee's Playhouse and Ren and Stimpy, and an indie pop singer-songwriter with a predilection for all things French. Poking around online, she's a mysterious and interesting character I wanted to know more about, a conclusion spurred on by the catchy 2 minutes Tarantino chose for his movie, Chick Habit. Here's a listen.
You'll be driving in a hearse. You're gonna need a heap of glue when they all catch up with you and they cut you up in two.
That's Chick Habit from April March, a tune from the new Death Proof soundtrack. And that's it for another Esquire podcast. Thanks for being here with us, and thanks to our podcast producer, Will Hoffman of Austin, Texas. And don't forget to look for the latest Esquire in your mailbox or on your newsstands now. Until next week, I'm Andy Langer, and this has been The Andy Langer Show.